All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mornings with the Montagues. Another day and another devotional. How are you today, Marcelli?
Great, thankful.
That's good.
To the Lord.
Not to me. To the Lord. Me too. So I'm excited today because we have completed Genesis, one of our 66 books of the Bible. We're on to the second, Exodus, chapter 4. Verses 24 through 26, and here is our principal verse, Exodus 4:25. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. What? This is crazy. A foreskin. She cut off the foreskin of her son and put it on Moses'
feet. It's very short. Let's read for them.
Let's read also the other verses here, Exodus 4:24, 26. At the lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you were a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. At the time, she said bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. Wow. This one, you have to read the context. You have to read the whole chapter to understand what is going
and
on.
And also the context at that time, the men should do that. Circumcisions in their sons. It was his job. And apparently, Moses was not able to do it, so his wife did it. So that's why she said that.
So, making peace
Let's get into it.
With each other. This is the devotional today. Zipporah performed haste surgery on her son when she realized God was about to kill her husband, Moses. While it wasn't stated, evidently, God was about to destroy Moses because he had failed to circumcise his son. What? Zipporah took the situation into her own hands, completing the act of obedience Moses neglected to do. This is a shout out to the husbands. Be obedient today, right? But there seems to be an air of resentment in her abrupt actions. Perhaps she was angry at her husband for shirking his fatherly duty. Or maybe Zipporah resented having to perform a spiritual ritual she herself didn't believe in. Whatever the details of this disagreement, resulting feelings can drive a wedge between spouses. Resentment can lead to barbed words, sarcastic comments, and actions that undercut one another. For example, children came early in our marriage. I used to get so angry when Dan would nudge me to get out of bed in the middle of the night because the baby was crying. Both Dan and I desperately needed sleep, but I resented the assumption that it was my responsibility to get up with the baby, the wife, right? Lack of sleep combined with my expectation that Dan share in the 3 a.m. feedings fueled resentment in me. I would perform my motherly duties seething silently as Dan snored and I rocked a cranky baby. It didn't take too many sleepless nights like that before we had built walls of anger between us. This is so crazy. When the baby is just like fresh into your life and you go from being married to being a parent, it's crazy. We had some of those nights.
I think after, later on, because in the beginning we were so like, oh, he's so perfect. Yeah. Wow. And some nights when we were too tired, then we are like, oh, I wish my husband could do that.
When you notice resentment creeping in or disagreement escalating in your relationship, admit your anger and call an immediate ceasefire. Take some advice from marriage counselor Scott Danley. Marriage Partnership Fall 1995. Agree on a specific time you can talk. Then sit down together. Use a small object, such as a pen, to indicate who has the floor. The person holding the pen is the speaker. When the pen changes hands, the roles change. The speaker's job is to get his or her point across. The listener's job is to absorb information and give feedback by paraphrasing what the other had just said. I think that's a great tool because you give each other time to speak. If you have this problem where you don't allow the other person to speak, this is a great tool. Physically have something. Okay, you have the pen and you can talk and I'll listen and then give me the pen and then I'll talk and you listen, vice versa. I think it's valuable. We haven't had to do that because I feel like we allow each other to speak when it's time, right? We've been I think anyway.
Yes, I do. I agree. Oh, just to get irritated like with the pen thing. It's like giving the pen, like, ugh.
It's my pen. It's my turn.
Yeah, but I like to allow you to speak because I like to hear you.
While this approach feels somewhat artificial, there you go. It greatly enhances communication by slowing things down and emphasizing listening and working together. It helps you, as James 1:19 says, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Such a valuable verse for marriage. It's a great tool for aiding interaction and understanding and it helps to ensure the resentments don't fester or turn into full-blown arguments. When you sense resentment growing within you, ask yourself what expectations you have of your spouse, particularly in a situation that's brewing trouble between you. Very often, resentment grows from unmet expectation. Zipporah expected something from Moses. I expected something from Dan. Recognizing what your expectations are in the first place is the first step toward resolving resentment. So yeah, I think making peace with each other, the overall devotional today, don't let bitterness, don't let offenses grow between us. And we had a time where we allowed offenses to come between us. Like just little things. We had this a couple months where just little things would just spark us, right? And so we went to the marriage group once and I think we fought right before we went. Okay, good backstory. So we went to the first meeting and everyone shared like their crazy testimonies of marriage. And we're like, wow, I feel like we're doing pretty good. Like we were just married for 3 years.
We're happy.
We haven't had a lot of explosions or crazy things in our marriage. And other people were saying other things, you know, that they have experienced in their many years of marriage. And so we're like, we walked away from that first meeting like, wow, we're doing good. We're on the right track. We know who God is. We're trying to live biblically in our marriage.
Yeah, because some people went without even being like officially married and also
didn't know Christ either.
Yeah, didn't know, have a relationship with Jesus at all. So that causes problem. That's different.
Then we went to the second meeting and we fought right before we went. And they're like, Dallas, what's wrong? What's your problem? I'm like, she's the problem.
Yeah.
Little offenses. It was no big deal when we explained what the
problem was. You got offended.
It was not something so small.
Like a baby. You
know? But yeah, it's don't let offenses or bitterness or resentment grow into the marriage. So here are our questions today. Is there some area of your marriage in which we feel that one of us has unmet expectation? So for that, I'm going to self-assess that I try to work on the things that I need to do. With work, of course, and then the other tasks of the house, like taking out the trash and those little things like this, that the fatherly duties, I put those on the back of my list. And so I would say personally, that may be one thing for you that you is an unmet expectation. Like, hey, it's time to take out the trash, right? Things like this. Am I right? Or it's not that big of a deal for you?
Yeah, I don't like it, but and someone ends up taking the trash. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I would like you to do more would be with Elijah, you know.
Be with Elijah more, yeah.
Not be with, just be with Elijah, but do some tasks, like feed him, or, you know, after this cleaning the table that you fed him, you know.
After I feed him, clean the table.
Yeah. And put this stuff back into place when you changed him, you know, this type of stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely things that I can work on.
Don't throw your clothes on the floor.
And for me, my unmet expectation for you, it's a big one. Are you ready? I don't remember any unmet expectations right now.
I know why you would.
Self-assess.
I can't.
Say.
Can't say in the show.
You can say in the show. So I think the unmet expectations, whatever they are, if they are continuing to be unmet.
Nah, if you don't have any, I don't want to have any either.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm sure I'll remember later and I'll remind you, okay?
Okay.
Number two, when one of us gets angry, do our agreements quickly get out of hand? How can we put a stop to that pattern? I'm going to say this is the unmet expectation for me.
Oh, yeah.
That whenever we have a disagreement, I like peace. I like to solve things too.
We don't disagree on things. It's not about that. It's about the when a horrible thing or happens or a bad circumstance.
No.
Like Elijah fell, or I'm exhausted and I need help and then I overreact.
Yeah.
And that's
that would be my
that's not cool for you.
Yeah, I don't like
you don't want me overreacting. You want me to be
to breathe.
Totally peaceful. Yes. And at that moment, I'm like, please help me. I'm dying over here. You know?
A gentle spirit.
Yeah.
Right? A gentle spirit.
Yeah, so makes sense.
When one of us gets angry,
I need it.
Do our arguments quickly get out of hand? I would say no. They don't really quickly get out of hand. It's whenever there's a situation that, I mean, yes, you are overwhelmed, you know? And so we can both do better in that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We always have to go back to the Lord in those moments. And I need Dallas to pray with me when I feel overwhelmed. Because sometimes I feel like I can't put myself back together. or for him to stay with Elijah for a little bit so I can pray and just breathe and pray. Yeah, pray.
That whenever she's in one of these moments, just hug. Just hug. Helps. I mean, a hug is worth 1,000 words, really. I could come in and say, it's going to be all right. Everything's fine.
And pray. If I just prayer. Hug, if you pray
yeah,
with prayer me.
Prayer comes after the hug. But,
no, yeah. But I really need prayer.
Prayer
I
should
expect,
come first.
I expect.
But it comes after the hug.
Yeah.
And we do pray a lot. You asked me to pray with you a lot.
Yeah, it should be even more. Even more.
It can always be more, right?
Yeah, I love praying.
Yeah, amazing. And our third question, let's try the pen passing conversation on a non-threatening topic. How does that approach differ from the way we usually try to resolve a problem? And what ways could this approach help? Yeah, I think we discussed this, that we don't have a situation where we need to use this pen passing thing because we allow the other person to speak in the time, right? We respect that. That's one thing that we're good at is listening.
I think it's a beautiful thing when you allow your spouse to speak and to not also take the control, not else take the control out of the person, because I've seen some couples that it feels so sad for the husband or for the wife when it looks like they're hiding behind their spouse. It's strange, and I don't think that's the goal that God has. Not like to submit. For a woman to hide?
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about submission, because you have a really good revelation, I believe, of submission to God and to your husband, where it's not like, I make you submit, girl. You know, it's not like this at all. You have a really beautiful understanding of this. So can you explain for the people what it means to submit to your husband and to God?
It's like submitting to Christ, you know, because you are under Christ. And I am under Christ and you, because you're my husband. So in a sacrificial way, Jesus loves me and husband loves me, you know, supposed to love me, right? So, and you're so easy to be around. So it's not hard to submit. And also when you say something that I'm doing too much or I should stop or, I don't know, some decisions that we have to take, and my decision is different than yours, we have to come to an agreement. And sometimes if I don't agree with your option, and we have to pray, and also at the end I would have to submit. And if there's something that I really don't agree, I don't think is the Lord's will, then I will continue to pray. So the Lord changed my husband's heart, but I'm not gonna come to you and like obligate you, manipulate you to convince you to do what I want, my decision. Yeah. Because that's bad. That's not what the Lord wants us.
Yeah. And this devotion was called Making Peace with Each Other. And so I read a book called Men in Marriage or something like this. I don't remember the name of the book, but it was a marriage book for men, right? And it was saying in the book that, yes, the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, but the wife can also determine what is sin for the husband. And so let me explain that a little bit more. People are confused when I say that. But for example, going to the gym. I like to go to the gym. Marcelli doesn't like me to go to the gym. And of course, in Brazil, all of you who are watching will probably have never been to Brazil, but it's nasty, right? It is not, people are not appropriate at the gym. And so Marcelli says, I don't want you to go to the gym. Is it more worth it to me to go to the gym and not have peace in my marriage? Or is it more worth it for me to work out at home? For me, it's more valuable to work out at home and get the same results at home than going to the gym and not having peace in my marriage. My wife has determined for me, it is a sin in my life to go to the gym against my wife's request. And so if that makes sense, the wife can dictate what is good and bad for the husband. And you've said many times, you're the radar, right? You're kind of this radar of sin. And
not me, but the couples. But yeah, we learned that in the couples.
And so I hope you guys understand behind what I'm saying there. I'm not saying that Marcelli is super weird and controlling and these things. That's not it. We respect each other. We love each other and we don't want to hurt each other. We want to be having peace in our marriage. And so we want to operate in a way that both leads us to peace.
Yeah. Why would I let my husband go to some place that there's not appropriate people there? And
I'm being respectful. I will be respectful.
Yeah,
I'll be a good man.
People
but you
are
can't control other people's actions. And
and people like, why I'm gonna put him in a place where his eyes will see all what I would not like
and
him to see.
We talked about this in the last episode, right?
Oh.
why put yourself in a position in that
way? I will not go, you know, because I don't want to go and be watching those muscles, man, muscle man, you know. I don't watch my man.
Yeah, she's got one.
That's all. I want to look at just at him, and so I don't sing, so my husband doesn't sing, because the person sometimes in front of you, and they...
People don't have respect sometimes.
No.
Or aware. Maybe they don't do it on
purpose. How are you going to put yourself in that position, you know?
I will have awareness. I will not go because I don't want to put myself in that position. So I hope you guys understand that. I hope that makes sense. But absolutely, making peace with each other. We want to have peace in our home. I think that's one of the most important things to me in our marriage, is to have peace and to have a gentle and quiet spirit that we can communicate with things on a normal level. And that's what I want. I want peace. I want us to be understood and heard from each other and loved from each other, feel cared for. And I feel like we're doing pretty good, and God can help us to do better. So I think that's a great devotional today. The first verse, the first devotional in Exodus. Thank you guys for joining us again for another episode. Anything else today?
Mm-mm.
No? All right. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Marcy, can you pray for us?
Yes.
Darling.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the teaching today and for teaching some context of that time in the Bible, Lord, of the responsibility that Moses had. And his wife did it what he was supposed to do, Lord, but you forgave him, and you're all around them and protecting them, Lord. And when he didn't have the courage to do he's supposed to do. So nowadays, Lord, sometimes we have some situations that we're supposed to do, things we're supposed to do, and we don't do it. Thank you for being such a good, amazing Father, Lord, that you forgive us. Just forgive us, Lord, and you take care of us and lead us into the path that we're supposed to follow. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, and I pray for blessings over all the people that are listening. And thank you for being with us, Lord, and making yourself present every day, because you never leave us, Lord, but for allowing us to feel your presence, Lord. I pray for other people, Lord, that listen to this podcast, Lord, so they feel your presence too and feel blessed by you, for your love, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.